Hi, welcome to Pot as a Woman. I'm Eli Olsberg.
I'm Teresa Lee.
And we're very excited about this week's. Well, I'm super excited. You know why. For two reasons.
Yes.
One, doing our favorite, my favorite song, my absolute favorite song on the album. So we already know how many ponytails it's going to get.
Yes.
But, and I'm, by the way, I'm Eli Olsberg.
Did I say that? No. And I'm Teresa Lee. I'll say it again.
Yeah, just in case.
You're tuning out.
Yeah, I was too excited about what we're going to talk about. We're talking about Ghostin'.
Eli's favorite song. Very good song. And let's introduce our guests today from the Basic Witches podcast. We have Leah Knauer and Rachel LaForce.
Hello.
Hey.
How's it going?
Wearing your Ariana Grande shirt.
Yes.
I love it. Both of you have incredible outfits.
Yeah, both of you are really one big stand outfit, and then we have like business.
I would go to the concert.
Jazz competition dancer.
Yeah.
I could just hear like bring on the men.
I feel like if it's like if Kurt Cobain was a hot girl.
Perfect.
It's like 90s grunge.
Yeah, grunge, but make it fashion.
Yes, exactly.
I came straight from a mountain to here.
Very exciting.
So the outfit change was, you know, we do a lot of quick changes.
Yes.
Being freelance actor, right?
Life is a stage. Yeah. You know?
All the world's a stage.
I used to be so good at keeping like an extra pair of clothes in my car, but the more invested I got in my clothes, literally, like more, like in the past 3 years, I've been putting more money into my clothes. I only wear jeans. Actually, that's not true. I wear some khakis, but like, they're like dark forest green khakis or like pink khakis.
Uh-huh, you got a pink pair.
Yeah, but like, so I'm worried that they're gonna get wrinkled or not. Like, I don't know. Just leaving them in a car feels like I'm not doing them any favors and betraying myself.
Mm-hmm. That's good. You're showing them respect.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, it's called self-care. Right?
Yes,
we're all about that.
Yes. Yeah. I just Marie Kondo'd my car, and I do have a full inventory of clothing needs. In a bin in the back. Like,
oh, wow.
If I need to go to my yoga job, I have a full outfit that matches the like dress code there. If I need an audition, I have like business casual.
Oh, wow. That's very smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's part of me that wants to still have like a pair. I might just get like an emergency, like classic, like a light blue shirt and dark blue jeans.
We're not prepared for earthquakes
Uniqlo
here,
basis.
But we are prepared for an audition.
Yes, exactly.
Pretty sad, but also matters.
Yeah. Oh, a general meeting? Yeah, I got close for that. So before we get into the song, something we always like to do, by the way, gonna plug your pod again, Basic Witches. It's a great podcast. I've been a guest on it.
Yes.
It's so fun.
Love Eli's episode.
Can I actually ask you the question I wanted to ask you earlier?
Oh, please.
How has your life changed since your reading? Can you pinpoint?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, my God. So glad you asked.
Ooh,
okay.
Yes,
just to fill in, Teresa.
Oh, so they did a reading for you?
Yes.
Yeah. And we pulled a card of a woman firing an arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And
when was this?
Mid-November, I want to say.
I'm trying to decipher what was going on in your life.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Ooh,
yeah.
Good. That's actually, So, and I'm glad you brought it up because I need to like get back into this mode now.
Okay. It's full moon tomorrow, so this is the perfect time.
Yeah, it's time to like let go and start intentions. But so what? At the end of the pod, they do a reading from cards.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of cards were they again?
Doreen Virtue Goddess Oracle cards.
Okay.
Yeah, so
they're all positive, all goddesses, nothing will tell you that you're going to die or something.
Yeah.
Right. And so we read it, and it was saying that like what it represents is firing an arrow means intention.
Mm-hmm.
And so
was it Diana?
Yeah, focused intention.
Yes. And
ooh,
so
I went on the hunt.
I went home the next week. Yeah.
Yes.
And I went home next week, and I remember because when I go home, my mom and I also she's really into tarot, runes. I Ching, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
She probably has it. So we pulled a card there too, and I told her what I got from this one, and she's like. And when I pulled that card, it matched similarly to that.
Mm.
Yes. And she was like, and when I told her the card that I pulled from the pod, she was like, oh my God. She goes, yeah, exactly. You're already doing it. So just keep doing it.
Yeah,
it was like a reinforcement that I was like doing the right stuff. And that also, whenever I go home, I usually have, they're very like almost like rebirth type trips. Like my trips home are very, most people don't like
it's
going
like a
home.
Pilgrimage.
Yeah. But I really get like a lot out of it. I really clear my head.
Wow.
But the few trips before that, I wasn't
able
to.
Yeah, my head gets more filled with
shit. Yeah, because also like my best friend's there who used to live here and I get to see like a lot of people I hadn't seen in a long time. And it's just my sister lives out of state, so it's just me and my mom. So it's not like a really heavy, it's not like a bunch of family.
Yeah.
And we get along well. So I remember during that period, we had just gotten Ariana tickets.
Yes.
It was this period.
That's right. We got them so early.
Yeah. We got
in November.
Wow. Yeah. And we, so I remember, I just remember that was a very focused period. And it was around,
nice.
It was around my birthday this year that things got shaken up again. But I do remember that period because we had just started this podcast. It hadn't even gone live yet, but I remember we had started recording episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I just launched Closure and I was recording a lot. It was a very focused period.
Yeah.
So the card definitely did the guidance.
Cool.
Or maybe I did it with the card's guidance.
Yeah.
I,
you know. What was the second one that you pulled?
So it was from a more bigger
tarot
read.
Deck?
Yeah, it was a tarot. Okay. Yeah. And it was, it was basically saying like going with intention means really staying in your own lane.
Mm-hmm. Focusing on yourself.
Truly, anything that goes around you, you have no control over. Mm-hmm. So if you just go with intention on what you're doing, even if you get a left turn, you're still going the right way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So it was like very much a variation on that. And in fact, she was so excited by what I had pulled from there. She made a photocopy of it and I still have it sitting on my desk.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
And I reference it from time to time.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it was great. So thank you guys for having me
to
pull that card.
Yeah. Actually, because we're talking about the cards, I haven't even told Rachel this. I did a full moon ritual today during the day because it's tomorrow. And I was thinking about what I want to bring in. And I asked the cards, what do I need to know as far as my career in this next moon phase?
Mm-hmm.
And today I submitted a really big job opportunity.
Ooh.
The card that I got was Yemenaja, Golden Opportunity.
What?
Which,
I don't know
which
this
literally
card.
Yemenaya. Okay. We've been saying it wrong.
I don't know, but golden sounds great.
Yeah, but it literally it says doors are opening for you right now. Walk through them.
God. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like holy shit. Yeah, it was really cool.
By the way, that also this is a period for me where there's supposed to be some unrest and it's supposed to be completely career focused. Mm. And that's not to say I still haven't been dating or having little thoughtful periods, but thought-t. Yeah.
Such a thoughtful person.
Yeah. I'm having a thoughtful summer. What can I say? But very
hot boy summer.
Yeah. I know, right? Ladies, the patriarchy's here and he's taking it back. I do think that it is a weird thing when you're reading this book that you pulled a card and it's telling you, you know what? Focus on this part because the other part's just not going to be very settled. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, the book's right.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Five pages of literature are right. So if anyone listening doesn't believe in astrology or tarot,
listen
you're
to
wrong.
Our podcast, Basic Witches.
So, all right, let's talk about Ari. This is the first thing we talk about before we even get into the song.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We want to know your relationship to Ari, how big of a fan. I already know some of the answer here. But, so let's start. Let's start with Leah.
Yeah, I'm a relatively new stan. Her Thank You Next album was very important to me. That's what, before I didn't super love her because I thought she was super breathy and I couldn't understand a word she says. But then the Thank You Next album was so honest, so emotional, and just it was very empowering as a woman who was going through similar stuff as her. So then. Yeah, I mean, do you want me to get in the scam story now? Because
In a second.
Okay.
The only question I want to ask is, in regards to the album, did it make you go back and listen to Sweetener at all?
Yes.
And did you appreciate Sweetener more?
Because it's I love Sweetener. Still like it, but it's a little more poppy, where Thank You Next is let's get fucking real.
No, Thank You Next is feelings.
It's honest.
And did you... And I'm curious when you're saying that it really hit you on a level, were you going through the same exact things at the same time?
Not exact, but I have had overlapping things with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And especially related to this song, which we'll get into, because this is my favorite song on the album.
As is, we already know, but it's mine. And then, Rachel, before we get to your scam story.
Save the scam. I really started to like Ariana when I saw her do the impressions wheel on
Jimmy Fallon.
Late night ones. I was like, oh,
maybe
shit.
James really good.
Yeah, maybe James Corden.
She did
But it wasn't Carpool Karaoke. It was the Wheel of Impressions.
Yeah.
And I was like, shit, she's so good. Because I only knew, like, okay, she's an ex-Disney star or whatever. And, like, I just kind of assumed she was, like, a lot of those people that aren't maybe, like, so legit talented vocally. And I was so impressed by that that I started listening to her. And I did really like Sweetener. But then Leah was like, you have to listen. When Thank You Next dropped, she was like, you have to listen to the whole album. And I put it on a car ride and liked it ever since. I've never been to one of her concerts, so I'm not as big of a fan as all of you guys. But also, I don't know what Stan means. Is that her fan
base? Stalker fan.
Oh, okay, okay.
So
it's
from the Eminem song.
Yeah.
Because that guy was obsessively, psychotically a fan. Yeah. So what's funny about it is that just speaks to where we are as a culture, where we're like, well, how big of a fan are you? Well, I'm a stan.
Okay.
But no, but so she calls her fans Arianators.
Oh, yeah, Arianators.
Okay. Arianators, Arianators.
Yeah. I think it's Arianators.
Because it'd be weird if it's an Ari, because that sounds like Arianators.
Arianators, yeah.
Okay, okay. So it's and then on Thank You Next, I love this song. I also really love NASA, N-A-S-A.
NASA, yes.
Because that was happening at a time for me when I was having to, like, set boundaries and be okay with taking it slower than it felt like I wanted to with a guy. So.
That's interesting, because I always read that song. We talked about it, but like that song almost has like a more cheeky approach to like just wanting a slam piece.
Oh, that's piece. Not how I interpreted
that kind
all.
Of. Wasn't that,
no, oh. I didn't. Oh, you mean like a totally just casual, not like.
Yeah, yeah, like take it easy, because it's not just boundaries in terms of like.
Wait, are you thinking of Bloodline?
Oh yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. Yeah. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
I thought that NASA is like, I'm in a relationship, but don't worry, I still love you some nights.
Yeah,
I just,
yeah. No, you're right.
It's
you're
like
right.
I need a night to myself.
It is. I am crossing wires.
Yeah.
It's Monday.
The Bloodline
folks.
Is straight up just like,
extra,
I'm not gonna call you.
Extra for me on that one. The guy I'm seeing, who I was, you know, went establishing those boundaries, is obsessed with space and NASA. Oh. And like, so it's just like, what?
Wow.
Yeah. And I would like play it on
it's
repeat.
A sign.
At the,
it's a sign.
I work at a hip hop yoga studio. Shout out Y7. And I would play it like nonstop in the lobby.
It is a great song. I will say, when she performed it live, it was almost a little upsetting that she just kind of was on the floor with her crew. Like, they were doing this thing where they were pretending they were all
the
hanging out and talking.
Like,
yeah, I mean,
was
everyone was
so
relaxing,
much.
But also there's part of me that's like, this is a song
it's
where everyone has to go
song.
Fucking apeshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People were going apeshit at the concert that I went to.
Oh, no, we did too. Like, especially when everybody had to scream NASA.
NASA? I went to the same arm movements. It was crazy.
It was same at ours. Yeah. So. Okay, let's get to the scam story.
Yeah.
Teresa doesn't know about this,
okay.
I don't think.
You may have hinted at it, but
it's
I want to hear the full story.
Yeah, I remember when I saw it, my heart dropped on your behalf.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's so you bought some tickets through like a
Craigslist. Amateur, I know, amateur.
She learned her
lesson. I did learn my lesson, but I want to trust people. I want to think that people are good.
Yeah.
And I truly thought that this guy needed to sell his ticket. And I have done that, where I've sold my tickets on Craigslist before.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, put faith in it. I even had my friend Ramona was like, oh, you shouldn't have done that. I was like, no, Ramona, you're being pessimistic. Like, it's fine. And then she ended up being right. but yeah, so paid $400 for a pair.
Oh my God.
And this was going to be for the Forum or Staples?
Forum.
Okay.
And they were like, bottom of the back of the floor, almost like at the where the, you know,
like where the sound booth
rising
is?
Starts.
Oh, okay.
So it was like the worst of the best seats.
Oh, okay. So not on the floor or on the lower bowl?
Still the floor.
Okay, but close to.
Yeah.
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 That's kind of where we were.
Okay.
But
yeah.
The Staples is a little smaller, so we had a really good, because she has that long stage.
Yeah.
We got really, like, when she was up there, we could see her very well.
Yeah. Oof. Okay.
So what happened?
So
yeah,
got these tickets. Then a day later, or like 2 days later, I just had like a gut feeling where I was like, I think these are fake. So I checked the link.
Wait, so you had gotten it?
He
like
sent
some
them
physical,
to me digitally.
Okay.
It was all quote fine. But
I'm curious, how did he send them digitally? Just by email?
Yes, and what was weird is he used a different email with the guy's different name. Like, there was so there's so many parts of it that are Shay to the D. Yes.
Trust your gut.
Yeah, so I was starting to catch on to him, and then I clicked the link a few days later, and I saw that it had been updated 2 days after I already bought the tickets, and it was at a higher price, and it was the same exact seats. Like, it was listed as the same exact seats.
No.
Yeah, so, like, he was basically caught. But he already had my money, and there was nothing really I could do about it. So for a full, like, month, I posted about it on social media just to, like, I don't know, put it out in the universe.
Sure.
And I just went in with the mindset of, okay, I need to invite a friend, I need to dress up, and I need to actually treat this night as if I'm going to the concert. So I told my friend...
Wait, like, with the fake tickets?
Yeah. And I told Tessa going, I was like, look, we might drive to Inglewood and, like, not get in, but I need you to just be down for an adventure tonight.
Yeah. Just, well, like, to play up dumb.
Because,
you mean?
Like, before you got there, she had done, like, I think you paid with Google Pay or something. Mm-hmm. So she tried to contact them. She tried to contact her bank. Mm-hmm. We were driving to record an episode of Basic Witches, and, like, we saw a cop driving next to us, and we were like, let's ask.
God.
We pulled over the cop.
Yes.
This is manifesting.
And they took the time to, like, talk to us. And they were like, okay, you can't, it's not a crime until the day of the concert, until you officially find out if they're fake, so you have to just go and find out, and then you can report it to the police. So, like, she was doing all the things.
Oh, so you have to find it. That's why you were like,
but yeah, but then she was like, okay, I'm just gonna put it out in the universe and go as if I'm going to this concert.
Yep. So then Tess and I go. We got there early intentionally so apparently what I thought was he sold the same, I think the tickets were real, but he sold them to a bunch of people.
So it was like whoever gets there first.
So then we tried to get there first, and regardless, we were not let in. They were fake. I was told at will call that they were fake.
Okay.
So there was literally nothing that anyone could do. And so then I saw right outside the, like, entrance, there was a Kiss FM booth, and they're doing a sing-off competition.
Oh, my God.
So I waited like 15 minutes, became friends with a bunch of 17-year-olds, and then I won the sing-off competition. I won floor seats.
With your friend as well?
Yeah.
Wow.
What song did you sing?
What did I... Oh, my God.
A couple, right? It was like rounds. You had to do like...
Yeah, the first round was...
This is the show we wanted to do. But by the way, we've been talking about doing a live show, and we want to do a lip sync. To Ariana.
Can I sing for real? I don't want to lip sync.
You're more. Oh,
let's do it.
Okay, you know what? This we're manifesting it.
Yes.
On here, we already talked about it once recording on here, but this is like setting the intention. Okay.
Hell yeah! And then you should have Ariana close the show.
If
we'll invite her.
Yeah, she can judge the first round and then sing at the end.
There
we go. We put it into the universe.
Yeah.
So this was like an intense sing-off.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just like, yeah, come up here and dance around, and we'll give you.
Well, so I think technically I should have lost, because the girl who it was down to the final two. She was a 17-year-old.
How many rounds were
girl.
There?
Just two.
Okay. How but many people were in the first?
Probably like five or six.
But I bet two or three of those were pretty easy to eliminate. Like, they probably were.
Yes.
Let's be honest.
Wait, so you had to wait in line to sing. So how do they pick out of a crowd just five people?
I think he just randomly picked. Just
so you just got very lucky. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're like, I'm gonna
and
wait.
So
I'm gonna wait.
Then it was down to the final two. And he asked, like, okay, where are your seats? Oh, and also, like, these girls were in groups of, like, eight. And it was just me and my friend Tessa. And we both had to really super pee. So she wasn't even there watching me for the sing-off competition. Like, I was by myself. I had no one to cheer for me.
Was the idea, like, they'll give you better seats because you already obviously have a ticket?
Yeah, they were going to upgrade you. So
then
you
could always
the final
get somebody's
two.
Old ticket if they want it, right?
Technically, yeah. But so it got to the final two, and then he was like, where are your seats? And then she said where her seats were. And then I was like, I got scammed. And then he gave me the tickets, and the crowd was not happy. Like, it was really uncomfortable.
Oh,
I was like, okay,
God.
Can we just get the tickets?
Because, oh,
like, I don't know. It was a weird feeling, because I felt like I earned them, but I also didn't earn them in a weird way.
You know what? In my opinion, you did. And
Thank
the thing
you.
Is, she already had those. She had seats anyways. Yeah. And not only that, it's time for her to learn that life is also a series of disappointments.
Exactly.
She's 17, yes. And yeah. This is if a boy hasn't already disappointed her,
it's time for her.
Kiss to FM started. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, exactly. I'm always disappointed by Kiss FM. I'm an AMP guy.
I love Kiss FM. They hooked me up.
You have to. Yeah, they are LA's number one hit music station, as far as you're concerned.
I mean, that is amazing that because is amazing. Not only did you get a way better deal out of it, but it's not just getting scammed and then you got the thing. Everything you did along the way got you there.
Like, I
the
fact couldn't agree more.
Well, the fact that you guys dressed up and were like, we're going to be into it and not like be like, let me just wear a hoodie and see if I get in.
Yeah.
Because then when you showed up, it seemed like you're a true fan. And when you said you were scammed, it really sold it. And which is true. But like, you did already kind of know.
Do you know how many people also just give up?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, totally. That's for people listening. Don't give up.
Yeah.
You
don't
know,
give up. It,
like, truly, that I think is the thing the most, because that's also such a terrible thing that it could just deflate you from wanting to have anything to do with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what's your sun sign again?
Gemini.
Oh.
Oh. Okay.
Yes. That has nothing to do with this.
What's Aries sign?
Oh, you're Aries?
Oh, she's a Cancer.
She's Cancer. She's Cancer season.
Of course she is.
So this is her season
emotional.
Right now.
Emotional.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
Water sign.
Yeah. Yeah.
Water
sign. What are you?
Scorpio, water sign.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. I'm a Cancer rising though, so.
Okay, nice. Okay.
You got some feels.
We got two air signs, two water signs. Mm-hmm. We're popping steamy. Off here. Yeah. We're drowning.
Bubbles in the water. It's seltzer.
By the way, did you purposely bring on Basic Witches for a show called, or a Ghostin? Song called Ghostin?
No, you guys, again, that's just the universe doing its
Rachel
thing.
Rachel put that together.
Yeah,
it was
like, I think that's why.
It's perfect. I will admit, when we reached out, I was like, God, I hope they say yes for this one. That I did do. But it was more of a timing thing. Okay. Where I got,
I was so excited when you said
that. Yeah, it was. I'm so glad, too. Yeah. Also, wait, when you got the floor seats, did you get seats or in the pit?
Seats.
Okay, what section?
It was actually, crazy enough, exactly where I was supposed to be. Like, yeah,
whoa.
Pretty much exactly where I was supposed to be.
Wow, okay.
And I didn't even follow through with the police afterwards because I kind of just feel like, I got what
you got,
I wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
And you got the thing.
Whatever.
And the truth is, would they have been able to track this guy?
Probably not. Many calls with the police, that's what I put together. And I was like, okay, it's, you know, I just wish horrible karma on that guy.
Which there probably will be.
Yes.
Yeah. And I realized, too, that he's doing that because he's clearly in a very desperate point in his life, so I also have compassion for him. Yes.
That's a very nice
That is very nice, because to me, I'm just like, man, he's got, I mean, you're right. He's already in his own kind of shitty situation. Mm. So whatever got him there, this isn't a person who's really having a good go of things.
Right.
You know?
Let's
talk about the song.
Yes. Because
the past few songs we've talked about, all songs we like, but the notes have been pretty brief. This one, as we know.
Oh, yes. It's so personal, she can't sing it on stage.
Yes.
Yeah. So can you tell us why?
Yeah. So she, this song and Imagine are both so personal for her. And because of this one, I would imagine, is the most personal of the bunch, that she said she just can't bring herself to sing it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when I saw her, she cried during, not Seven Rings, the other one, Thank You Next. When she mentioned the part about her marrying someone and her mom and, like, you know, that part, she cried.
She cried during REM recently on stage, like, but big time. Like,
I saw that.
She had to address it online,
Understandable. Her album is so vulnerable. Yeah.
Well, also, she works so much that I don't think she has time to cry. So if you don't, it'll make time.
Yeah. You know what I've done when I've repressed crying is I'll wake up crying.
Wow.
Have you guys ever
really?
Had that happen?
No.
It'll just be like, I'll just go to bed and I'll be like, blah, 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 and then I'll like have a dream, but it'll like be a sad dream. But it's like, you can't control what happens in your dream. And then I'll wake up like sobbing and I'm like, fuck you, dream. I didn't want to start my day
sad. I've woken up crying from dreams.
Wow. Mine is just watching something mildly emotional and reacting to it.
Oh my God.
You surrogate your cries through the art you watch?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll watch the most simplest thing and it can make me tear up and like big time. Yeah. Or I can even think of a scene from a movie If I think of something from Before Sunset long enough, I'll fucking ball. If you guys don't know that.
I love that.
Yeah. Are you familiar with it?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, it'll fuck you up. It's called the Before Trilogy, Before Sunrise, Sunset, and Midnight.
Yeah.
And it's this film series. And I'm only pausing for this because it's totally worth mentioning. it's a trilogy. They filmed the first one in 95 when Ethan Hawke was like in his 20s with Julie Delpy. And they meet in, these college kids who meet in Vienna. They spend the night together because their trains take off the next day, and then they fall in love.
Whoa.
And at the morning, this is a spoiler, but also the movie's from 95, so at the end of the movie they're like, let's meet back here in 6 months at this exact spot. And then they filmed the sequel 9 years later, taking place 9 years later.
Wow. Is it the person who did Boyhood?
Yep.
That makes sense because Ethan Hawke's in that.
Oh, that is so perceptive that you just guessed it.
Well, because Ethan Hawke, because that's
thing. Yeah. And it's like, even the first one is almost, it almost feels like real time, even though it's not. It's very much like you're seeing the moments that are just like, someone has to pee and we're going to wait while she goes pee and he waits here.
The second
for her
one
and, like,
is in real time, I think.
Okay.
The second one, he wrote a book about the experience, and then they reunite. And then the third one takes place 9 years after that one.
Yeah.
And it's about their life as a couple now if it was really worth it.
Is it based on a real thing?
No, not at all. Well, the first one was based on a short, like on a thing Richard Lincoln. Linklater met someone in Europe, and she sadly passed away years later. But I don't think the stakes were the same.
I wonder how many of those he has brewing. Like, so many of them have to be
that we don't know about yet. That are like
many years. He's just shooting like 20 different movies. There's one with a dog as it grows up.
Well, that's also what I love about it is like when he wrote the sequels, he wrote it with Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy. Like, they worked on it together. They're all credited on the scripts, and like, I think that it's like Boyhood. He's just interested in like people. It's so
Boyhood made me cry a lot.
And it's an incredible trilogy. But anyway, the second one, particularly the second one, because it's about them being in their 30s and like really questioning stuff about their life. Like, there's at one point Ethan Hawke just goes, there has to be more to love than just commitment. And I like, every time I hear that line, I'm like,
You would like that line.
I'm like looking for a window, and I'm like, where can I jump out after that? I'm over
so
this.
Funny.
Drag me to fucking hell and back. Like, it's so brutal.
So funny.
Because there has to be something more than commit. Okay, so
meanwhile,
anyway.
I'm just like, it has to be easier to just get someone to commit. Come on, it's not that hard. Come on, guys. Just get your shit together.
It's not hard at all.
Get your shit fucking together, okay? No, nobody likes it, but just do it for me, okay?
I love that we're on opposite ends of the spectrum. But she's like, I just can't find someone to commit. I'm like, look, so many people don't want to be alone. And
I'm like, it's so, I know how, I get all the hard stuff. I know all the temptations, and I go bye-bye to that. So I'm like, if it's easy for me, it's easy for you.
Look, both of us have done a lot of growing up in the world. That's what I'm saying. Okay, so Ghost in... So here's just the quick breakdown. Like, we just always like to give the credits really quick. So the song was written by Ariana Grande, Victoria Monet, Taylor Parks, Max Martin, Ilya, and Sivan. It was produced by Ilya and Sivan and recorded at Jungle City Studios in New York City. And according to Grande, it was the first song written for the album and took the longest to write. In a quote, she said, we had to take little breaks from Ghostin. That was the first took, and then we came back and did verses like 2 weeks later. Everything else we did in like an hour.
Wow.
Which...
Everything else they did in an hour?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. I love she's... I feel like...
I don't know if that's true.
I feel like in context of the conversation, she was probably... It was like hyperbole. You know what I mean? Where she was just like everything else we did. You know, it took probably like 2 days. Yeah.
I just told them a few things and then the rest of them went and wrote it.
And she also stated that it was the hardest song to write for the album, particularly the second verse, which totally makes sense. After completing the song, Grande did not want to release it and begged her manager, Scooter Braun, to remove it from the album, but he convinced her to keep it.
See, now knowing all that about Scooter, I'm like, ugh, I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, I don't feel like...
Or you think he was like, no, you're going to wish you had in like 10 years.
Yeah, I think I don't think it was just him. I have a feeling everybody was like, this is a moment and you need it.
Yeah. Okay. From what I read, it sounded like as if he was supportive and he was like, this is a beautiful gift and like people need to hear this.
That's nice.
So I hope that his intentions were genuine and not just trying to exploit her pain and get...
I think everybody in the industry... if they're operating at sincerity or still operating at only 50% sincerity. Mm. Like, I don't even say that as like a dig. I mean like he
the business
is
manager.
Yeah. I do think he genuinely cared, but also he's like, this is going to also be the big,
I would buy that. Yeah.
I do think if you're going to make something this vulnerable, like an album like this, where you're really putting your everything on the line, this should be there. Ultimately.
Yeah, for sure.
Really quick. Let's listen to that second verse.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Do you want,
sorry. Shit. I'm so bad at this. Sorry, guys. Okay, I just realized something.
So heartbreaking.
Like, tragic. Yeah. I just realized something in her saying why that second verse was so hard to record. I now have a theory that's probably, if Pete listens to it, that's probably the first of him hearing that. Even though it's probably something they knew.
Ooh, that just hit me. Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm sure when they broke up, they had a real
talk about it,
but... Mm. I do think that she probably put something there that, you know, was never said out loud. That was just all kind of an unspoken understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, being the least stan of the group, I just connect to the words based on my own life. But is it that she broke up with Pete and what she's referencing here is like Matt? Like,
yes, 100%.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's, okay.
I
do get it. Then.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The song is entirely about that.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
Mac.
It's
in New York. Yeah, like very closely, but he wasn't big yet. I shot a music video with him.
I don't think they broke up at that
point. What I was going to say. I feel like this is recorded at a point where
they were still in love.
Still together, sort of.
With Pete?
Yeah.
No, they had broken up.
No, not recorded. Sorry, this moment in time that she's capturing.
Yeah.
Is the moment after Mac died when they stayed together and they felt the distance because she just couldn't process it, and she's still in the relationship, but clearly,
totally,
it highlighted how she wasn't. The relationship wasn't right, but you know, he's still some source of safety.
Yeah.
But my question is, hearing this verse again, I know it's written on a surface level of talking to Pete about Mac, like, you don't understand, don't worry, I still love you.
Yeah.
But hearing it again, just that verse, it actually sounds like she switches the person to Mac. Do you guys hear that? Like, it's like when you're with someone, but you're not over another person, and you kind of project a little.
Mm-hmm.
When she sings about the bed and how to leave it all behind, I feel like at that point, she's kind of like admitting that, like, she's not over Mac. She'll never be able to get back with him because he's dead.
Mm.
And Pete is the person now, but she's kind of just being like, and now you're going to take everything that I have.
Oh, I read it more as like her saying that, and this is kind of where the wordplay on ghosting, because in the chorus she says instead of ghosting and meaning leaving him on red, essentially, or, you know, leaving Mac behind. I think there's this, obviously, this double meaning of ghosting, of the ghost of Mac she's referring to.
Oh,
that's my answer.
I thought the ghosting was about.
Oh, okay.
I didn't read that she was trying to ghost Pete.
No, but what I mean is, I guess I see what I said now wrong. So, Pete, what I mean is, like, in that second verse that you're talking about, I don't think it's a projection.
Well, who do you think
you is? Oh, Pete.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think it is on the surface, but I think it switches.
I
think it's like a dream when a person becomes another person.
Oh.
When she says, because what is it? Okay.
Because no, she says, I wish he was here instead.
I wish, yes.
That line always like,
oof. That's a brutal.
What is the exact line with the bed?
Leave it all here in this bed.
I'm pulling up the lyrics. I'm racing.
She says something like, leave it. Okay, here we go.
Wish he were here instead. Don't want that living in your head.
Yeah. Yeah. He just comes to visit me when I'm dreaming.
When I'm dreaming.
Every now and then. Yeah. After all that we've been through, there's so much to look forward to. What was done, what was said, leave it all here in this bed with you. Okay, so I do think that you becomes Mac. Because I think I think she's kind of like, you know, it's okay, don't worry. Like, you know, I do wish you were here, blah, blah, blah.
I see it.
Do you see what I mean?
Yes, okay. I see it. It literally just hit me like a ton of bricks.
She goes, when I'm dreaming every now and then. She talks about dreaming. This is, I'm going to get super allegorical here. But she talks about dreaming. So she's like, in a way, bringing you into her dream where Pete is Mac. Which she telegraphed by saying, though I wish he were here instead. Mm. Now she's dreaming. And after
all, when she says he right there, who is it?
She says, when I'm dreaming every now and then, and then. And then she goes, and after all that we've been through. And I feel like at this point, she's already like back in the dream.
It could switch characters.
I think she's in the dream and she's talking to Mac.
Characters.
I know she's doing it on purpose where you could feel like it's both. But to me, it feels like when she enters the dream, she's like, now I'm talking to Mac after all that we've been through. Mm. And she's trying to tell herself it's going to be better. So when she's
saying, I wish he was here instead, I could see that referring to Pete. Like, as in, I wish it was the guy I'm with. I wish I could make it that he's here in my head when I'm dreaming. But actually, my ex who's passed away is in my head.
I didn't even think about that. That's really interesting. Yeah, I mean,
she wishes she could be just present. I know, I did too. It's, like, she wishes she could just be present and be with Pete. But
it's kind of like, I've never had
Annie deserves better. There's that when she gets to that element of the song where she's
kind
like,
of, but I don't know if she really believes that. I think Pete wasn't necessarily there for her the way it sounds like that she needed.
I'll say, one thing I'll say in regards to this whole thing, to put myself in his shoes, I don't know what the proper.
No, it's hard.
Oh, yes. By the way, I just want to say something. Midsommar, Ariana always talks about how she's been writing. She wrote most of these songs, like Seven Rings and stuff, like over champagne when they kept having stuff in the studio. We're recording and passing around rosé right now. So if you don't think we're not making a pod fitting. The same way she makes a
what
song.
What would Ari do?
Yes, exactly.
I do. So this is, it made me think of this. I'm going to share something very personal. It's not the same situation at all, but I have a balloon tattoo, which is in memory of a guy I briefly dated who OD'd. And I remember the feeling. We never got very serious. It was very young, kind of like we lived far away. It was always like, when we're out of college, maybe. We had a very strong connection. And to me, I can relate to that feeling of like, you're far beyond it. She wasn't that far beyond it, but she's trying to be. But like many years ago, that was like 2012. So I'm like far beyond it. And I'll still find myself in certain relationships when people ask about it, be like, oh, it's a memory of a friend. And then you'll start thinking like, what if he was here? What if we were holding hands? You know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Because you'll never know.
I'm gonna stop talking because I want to start crying. No, it's not it's okay that it really would have worked
Scorpio
out.
Get your Scorpio on, girl.
It's not that it would have worked out, but it's that feeling of like you're lying in bed next to someone and you're like intimate and then you're like, would I still be here if this person was around with the same person?
I'm glad you brought that up because that is my literal connection to this song as well. I like dated a guy briefly when I just moved to LA. It was long distance. We got very close. He had cancer while we were like dating and he passed away. And like I was dating someone when he died. So I do so connect with like, I would try to talk to my current boyfriend about it, and it just didn't feel like we could actually get to the levity of like the reality because I didn't want to make him jealous or like what he didn't maybe understand that it's such a complex thing, especially because we knew for a while that he died when he was like 21. Wow. He was so young.
Yeah.
But I still think about like, oh my God, what would it be like if he was still here? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, because it's not really about, like, you know, him and I weren't dating when he passed. So it's not like that it worked out or anything. But then you just start thinking, like, oh, what would this have been? Or what were the demons that I could have helped with? Or, and that sort of thing, you know?
I'll say whenever I, because I think relationships do have this thing where they really make you feel like everything's on the line. I mean, love's a pretty serious business, even if people don't practice it. Like in the way they think they should be, you know, a lot of times people think they're doing it wrong. And I don't know if that's true. I think people are just being too hard on themselves.
Them are doing it wrong.
I mean, some of them need to take the other L. I think part of it is that, I do think about whenever someone close to me does pass away or someone I even knew a little, I can get very emotional about it. And it does make me, it always gets me out of any funk where if I do get down about those things in regards to relationships, I actually, it's a strange, it can almost be like a ricochet in that I'll get really emotional and sad. I'm like, oh, this person should be here or this person should be, you know, around. It's very weird that this person's not here. Mm-hmm. I still, going to the Comedy Store is still weird for me because of Brody. And like, you know, I don't know if you know this, but he did my show 3 days before he passed away. So we're talking. It's just a very surreal thing. Mm-hmm. And I think about, I get really sad and I'm like, this place is not, you know, and then but I also think about how inspiring those people are. So I can really go the other way with it where I'm like, well, I can't, what am I doing here? I mean, I even think about it. I think I told the story on Barely Witches, but you know, my dad bought a motorcycle. Yeah. Did I say Barely Witches? I'm sorry to say that ends the podcast.
Good run.
My time of death from embarrassment is 8:34 p.m. Basic witches. Yeah. I'm barely a witch. I'm never going to get over that. I'm sorry. That was just such a... Okay.
No, you...
Focus.
Yes.
What I was going to say was that I do think about, like, when I get in these moments where I'm, like, very... I kind of lost my... I was really going for it. But I was going to say that I also think when I'm, like, really sad or really bummed about it, I kind of come out the other side where I'm like, well, I think I told you in our podcast is my father died when I was really young. I don't have an emotional attachment to it too much in that sense, but he bought a motorcycle at 10 o'clock and he crashed it at 2 and died. I think that informs I only learned that like 2 years ago, but it informed me going forward now about being like, well, that's, you can buy a motorcycle at 10 and take off from Earth at 3.
Yeah.
So I think about it in those ways sometimes where I'm like, well, look, I'm not going to deny myself a sad feeling, but at the same time, it did repurpose how I, or made me reevaluate how I take love, partnerships, and spending time, and more importantly, not wasting other people's times.
I like that.
Yeah. I mean, most of the time when, unless you're very close to someone or unless they're like on their deathbed sick or something, or, most of the time when you find out someone close to you died, even if they're pretty close, it could be even family members. Like it is sometimes just a phone call, and it can go from feeling like you just saw them a few days ago to like, what? They're just
gone.
Totally,
yeah.
That's almost all of it, unless it's like they left a note and you can stop them. I don't know. There's very few instances where you'll like have a month to prepare, which The Farewell's about. Maybe watch that. No.
Did you watch it last night?
I haven't seen it yet.
Heard about it.
But, yeah, I've been dying to see it. No pun intended.
The movie The Farewell by Lulu Wang. Yeah. It's a totally different thing, but they think her grandma's dying, or her grandma's dying, and then they all go to say goodbye. Right. But
Aquafina?
Yeah.
Yeah. The grandma doesn't know. That's the twist.
She doesn't know. Classic Chinese culture. No.
Yeah, I mean...
That's not true for everyone, but it's more common in Chinese culture.
But it does make me think a lot about where I'm like, oh, yeah, all this shit about like... That. And also, I think that this changes when you get out of your 20s. There's like this drama element. That's more what I'm referring to. Like, I can't anymore. It's something that I think... is such a drain in a way that like you don't get time back. Mm-hmm. I do think that in saying that, I'm realizing that's probably part of what informed Ariana's decision, not just to make an album. I mean, yeah, she's burying some shit right now, like or pushing pause on it. But
is she really like what? Okay, because let's really ask the question of like, if she were to fully process or act quote unquote normally. Mm-hmm. Based on all the trauma she's been through, like, what does that look like? That looks like a person screaming all the time and crying and breaking
down. That's true, yeah.
Which she's kind of doing.
Yeah.
And she's trying to be normal. She's trying to live. But everybody telling her that, oh, it's okay, you can feel it. Like, who hasn't been through anything like that? They're like, you can feel it. And it's like, no, I want to be normal. Like, I don't want to be, like, on the floor crying. Because if she were to really honestly feel everything all the time, like, that's not very fun.
No, that's true. And she's a Cancer, so she already does by nature.
Right. So I think she's doing the noble thing by like being like, I have these feelings, but I want to feel normal. So like, let me just fucking be normal. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think that's part of it. I do think she takes an inspiration to do the most she can right now. I don't know. I think it's an important album in the sense that like she really... you know, she joined this year was like, or last year into this year was the year that she kind of joined the biggest pop stars, you know, not just breaking records, but like also really being able to do things on her terms completely through and through. Mm-hmm. And so it does make you, you know, she still obviously really loves her old work, but I think that it does make you listen to the old songs in a more like the way you would chew a piece of gum. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it's good when it, when the flavor's done, you'll spit it out. And this is, these are like a it's full like a course meal.
Time capsule.
Truly.
Of her trauma.
It's a moment as an album.
Should we look at more lyrics or genius?
Yeah. Well, before we do that, we're there. There's a, I got actually got like,
oh yes, more notes? There's so much. Okay. Let's go to the notes.
So we, the last one I did was a Scooter Braun one. So if you want to do after that.
Okay. Grande as of now is uncomfortable performing it live. We talked about that.
I hope we get it one day in like a Billboard Awards performance, like just a real quiet next to like a symphony orchestra. Just like if that's so the only performance we ever get, I'll take it.
That would be powerful.
Yeah.
When asked what the song is about in January 2019, Grande responded to a fan's tweet, "Feeling badly for the person you're with because you love somebody else. Feeling badly because he can tell he can't compare and how I should be ghosting him." In a February 2019 interview, co-writer Sivan Koteka said, "The song speaks for itself in terms of what it's about. We were there with her for a week in New York witnessing that, witnessing her feelings on that. We all wrote it, but she never really loved the verses we had. Victoria Monet was with her, and her and Victoria rewrote the verses a few weeks later. That's a good example of how she doesn't give up on a song. She keeps trying to get it right for her."
So
it's probably hard, really hard.
Yeah, I think, by the way, this is, I think, the only song where... because the song production split amongst, I believe, three different groups. There's Max Martin, Ilya, and Sivan, which are the Swedish fellas.
Related to Troy?
No. Sivan? No. Sivan's his first name. These are three Swedish producers. They used to produce...
Martin is like Britney Spears.
Yeah, I mean, he's been...
Like every pop song I've ever heard.
He's responsible for a lot of 1989, the Taylor Swift album. Yes. Like he's really...
Huge stuff.
So he works a lot with Ariana. And those other two guys work with him. Ilya and Sivan work with him a lot.
Yeah.
So they took most of the big poppy songs, Bloodline, not Thank You Next. There's
NASA?
One other. No, they actually didn't do NASA. They did.
Bad Idea.
Bad Idea. Yeah.
Oh,
Bad
Seven
Idea.
Rings, or was that?
No,
that was with Victoria and Taylor, right?
Yeah. And they and then this producer named Tommy Brown and I'm missing the other guy. It was when we covered the song we covered last week. Had written that song, but they tend to have the more minimalist stuff. And what's interesting, the big productions usually tend to be the Max Martin ones.
Yes.
And is the only one that doesn't have that, but it still has that theatrical feeling to it.
I'm surprised that it's them because I didn't think that when I heard it.
Oh, really?
It seemed like a more muted one. It seemed like I don't have, it's interesting because this is a lot of people's favorite song and I feel like it should be mine too, but while I connect to it a lot, like it isn't, it maybe it's too close. Like it's not one that I feel like it's my favorite. So I don't know, but I felt very muted and it was like fine, but I,
right.
Like I'll listen to it if it's on, but sometimes I'll just like skip it.
that hurts.
Maybe you can't handle that. Like,
maybe, yeah, it could be that. It could be like a self-repressing situation.
It is like,
it might be that.
It is a song that you can't listen to casually. Yeah. Every time I listen to it, I'm like engaged with it.
Yeah.
Excuse me, and I do think that when I'm listening to it, I just remember from the first time I heard it, because I remember I heard Needy, and I was like, oh my God, this is a perfect song. It's probably the best song on the album. And then NASA came on, and I'm like, all right, we already have competition. and then Bloodline, I was like, well, this is a good radio song. And then it just kept going, and then suddenly Ghostin' came on, and I was like, holy fucking shit. I remember after it stopped playing, I was like, all right, I'm just going to finish the album really quick and then go back to this. And thankfully, Seven Rings and Thank You Next, I'd already heard, so I really just had to listen to In My Head and Break Up With Your Girlfriend on Board. Okay, yeah. So I like went through those really quick and I was like, oh my God, those are really good too, but I got to go back to the song. I listened to that song like five times before
I mean, it's just so different and unique and it feels very honest. So
I was taking it in. I'm like, I got to hear everything. Because at first you're like, okay, the first verse, she's talking about all this stuff it has poetry to it. And then the second half, you're like, Oh, this hurts.
I actually remember specifically driving and being like, what did she say there? And then starting it over on the lyric, every tear is a rain parade from hell. I was like, as a Scorpio, I'm like.
Yeah. That, and also, the other thing, the reason I was able to listen to it a lot is because I'd already listened to Thank You Next, which, let's be honest, is also one of the best songs on the album. So but good. That came out on its own, so it almost, it's weird. It, even though it's named, the album takes its name from that, it almost feels like its own song that because it came out so almost, I think, what, 3 months before. And I remember for that month, oh boy, that is all I listened to. I mean, that was that took up a lot of November, December. And like,
and have you guys done an episode on Thank You Hex?
Yeah,
the Basic Witches parody of Thank You.
Oh my
Next.
God, no! But we gotta check it out.
Well, not even parody, but just like because we love Ariana, but like just using it in a witchcraft.
Incredible. I missed a fact, but it says fans have speculated that the track sample is Mac Miller's song 2009 from his album released last year.
The one that and I listened to it today.
What's the verdict?
No, in my opinion. Here's why. Yeah. It does have like a like a violin or cello arrangement at the beginning, but after that, it kind of cuts it to it into its own thing. I could play it if you guys want to hear it really quick.
Sure, let's play it.
And then the other problem I kind of have with that jump is that I think she does reference stuff, but she never references it that explicit.
I feel like it's a loose, like, he talks about dreaming of her, so she talked about dreaming. Right, exactly. It's like, so I feel like that's...
Right. So here's the beginning of the song.
Yeah.
This is from, like, a 50s musical.
Yeah, I love Violin Man.
Song's about to kick up.
It's already kicking.
Yeah.
Is this sampled or do they play it in the studio?
Good question. I actually haven't checked.
I don't hear it.
I mean, that beginning, that first minute, I think is what.
Yeah.
I think that's what people are referencing. It's, I mean, just because it's kind of like a orchestral strings or thing to it. But I'm
sure they had influences on each other because they spent time together. Right. I don't know that it was a deliberate sample.
Yeah.
Sorry if you guys have this in your notes, but I found out today when I was researching this that 4 minutes and 4 seconds, you can apparently hear Mac Miller's laugh. Like there's a lot.
In Ghostin?
Let's hear it.
It's either you said 404?
402 or 404.
Research.
It's kind of creepy sounding. It's like muffled, deep, dark laughter.
Yikes. You have it?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, so 4 minutes and 4 seconds. So we're going to just go to... This
Maybe try 402 just in case.
This is 355.
Okay. Right there.
You didn't hear it?
I heard it.
It's kind of demonic
I've
sounding.
Heard that. I thought that it was like a NASA thing for a while.
Yeah, I thought it was just like a like her, because you also hear her go, like it cuts her voice really quick. Huh. So I thought that was hers. I wonder if that's like, where did you read that? I'm just curious.
The internet, who knows?
oh, yeah, I was curious if there was like a particular source.
There were a few
or
sources, actually.
Interesting. I do think, so that brings us to our last segment, which is perfect, which is we do a genius.com lyric breakdown.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah.
So... I think that like whoever did that detective work, I wouldn't hire them to be my PI. You know what I mean? Like
it's,
I don't trust it.
I feel like it's something because it is very like, oh, you're trying to hide it, but it's also kind of obvious.
Here's the thing. You also have to clear that kind of stuff. And I don't know. I mean, she's close with his family. I know that. Yeah. Like, I think they're friends. Yeah. They're all pals. But I don't know. I feel like that would be published somewhere. I don't know. There's something there.
It could have been like an Instagram video she owns.
That's true. Yeah. But still, if it's his, even if she
likeness?
Owns the video, yeah,
oh,
it's,
really?
It's still a likeness thing, maybe. I think. Yeah. Well, because like if I sold an Instagram video, let's just say that was the two of us talking.
Oh, yeah.
You'd still have to. Yeah. You still want to get some of that money.
Sure.
Not that his family's probably fine with it, but... So why don't you start with
so like, do we have time to do all these? There's a lot. Do you want to skip our favorite ones?
Well, we got you're right. So
well, we kind of talked about some of these already. We've just gone forward. So let's do the ones we haven't.
Look at the cards that we've been dealt.
Okay, let's do that. So, well, do you want to just read the description of the first one that goes for the first? Because it's so silly. It's so.
Oh, which one?
So the first genius thing based on the first two verses. It just says, these lyrics are likely addressing the struggle Ariana endured while engaged to Pete Davidson and having to cope with the death of her ex-boyfriend, Mac Miller. It's not silly because it's silly. It's silly because it's so obvious.
Yeah, it's weird that they just put the news.
Yeah, it's literally like, okay, great. We get it. But that's what they say about the first two entire verses.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. They just, that's all they take from the lyrics from that. They don't... they don't add any kind of... They're like, here's what you could have read on Google News, you know?
What's the next one?
So look at the cards that we've been dealt. Ariana compares her tumbling relationship to a game of poker, stating that they have to deal with what life has given them. The line is similar to...
My therapist told me that, too. She was like, we got to reconcile with the cards we're dealt at some point because, look, those are the fucking cards. Well, like, you can't change them.
I'm going to finish. I'm going to just tie this. I do want to respond to that because I think that there's truth to that, but I think that...
Sometimes you can burn it down and get a new deck.
Yeah, because I think when you come from... Like, it's hard because you can't write off people's pain based on privilege, but... We're talking about a certain level of access to mental health that she has. You know what I mean? Like, she can get a therapist to come on tour with her if she wants.
Yeah.
So it is like, I agree with Teresa. I think sometimes you just got to burn the deck and go find a new set. Like, sometimes. But, you know, each person's their own unique thing. But she says the line is similar, saying, look at the cards we've been dealt. It's similar to her 2014 track, Best Mistake, featuring Big Sean. Ugh, love that song. Where she says, dealing with emotions that never left, playing with the hand that we were dealt in this game. This line also shares similarities with the lyrics from the title track off of her 2018 album, Sweetener. When life deals us cards, make everything taste like it is salt, then you come through like the sweetener you are to bring the bitter taste to a halt. Yeah.
There's two versions of this where one is like, oh, wow, she's got these motifs, and the other is like, are they just calling her unoriginal?
Yeah.
I read it more as like, that's funny. I
thought of it. Because it's like, she's already said this.
Maybe this is how hard I stand. I was like, this is just a motif. I mean, look, I don't think she's like an auteurist filmmaker that's like, oh, you could see an Easter egg referencing my first movie to the second one. I do think the sweetener comparison probably isn't a mistake.
Yeah, it was around the same time. Yeah, I think, well, it gives us a little insight into the way she thinks, right? She thinks she's not really in control.
Yeah, some stuff is out of your control.
Yeah, she's losing control. Maybe that's why she's been feeling so insecure, that feeling of like needing to find your source of safety. Because when you're like, you know, like I think she, like that attachment theory kind of comes into play a little bit when you feel like you're being dealt something and everything's just like being handed to you and you have to wait and be reactionary as opposed to being like, okay, let me... Yeah. Go out
totally.
There and
no, do, yeah. And like I think also she that's kind of, I was going to say the same thing, but like I think that she also, it's funny because when you're at that level of success, you do have a lot of control.
You do, but it's how you view the world. It's your worldview. Totally, like her worldview, I think,
shapes everything.
Yes, and I do think she still takes things in her own hands, but I think the way she sees stuff happening, it happens to her. I think she waits for things.
Yeah.
Even though she might be like, I want to do, like, I'm going to go out and buy rings for my friends, sure. But I think in her mind, she's like, and then I'll wait to see what that results in. As opposed to being like, I just did the thing I wanted to.
Oh, I bet if she was here right now and you said that, she'd be like, drag me. She probably, I think she would agree.
But there's nothing wrong with that. But it's just, do you feel like you're in your world, like, doing things and causing things, or are things being done to you and then you're reacting to them?
The reason I say I think she would agree is because I think you can see that pattern in everything she does. Like, I mean, also, you know, we're talking about this part of the relationship. You know, she also had the stuff with Manchester and she just addressed it in an interview. She did this incredible interview. I think, was it for Vogue?
Vogue, yeah.
Yeah, it was like an incredible interview where she talks about all this stuff and it was like a very emotional interview. And she says, she's like, I haven't even scratched the surface of this. And she's like, there's so many complex things to all of this, because, like, you know, specifically with Manchester, she's like, well, it's not my story. People are attaching it to me. There are these people who died. And then right. with the stuff about Mac and Pete, she's like, well, you know, I'm like,
someone also died.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just like surrounded by all these things in such a short period of time. Yeah. That like,
what I'm kind of realizing for the first time when you're rereading. So that verse specifically, look at the cards that we've been dealt. If it were anybody else, probably wouldn't last a day. I feel like this song is also mourning Pete, because it's like,
1,000%.
Yeah, cause like, had this whole thing not happened, they, you know, they would have been quote normal exes, and Mac would have like, and now I feel like that kind of gave
it's ingrained
Pete,
in their relationship.
Of course that was a cloud over them.
I hope in like 5 years they have dinner.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like that,
I
they need a big
ask,
break.
Do you guys think they'll get back together when she's more healed?
No, I don't. No, I think the relationship as a relationship, no way. Yeah. And I think
they can be friends.
I do think
down the line.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping more for, is that they just kind of look at it as like, yeah, we did something dumb at that point. Like I just hope they're like once a year they hang out. That's I think all because it's. I don't think, here's the thing about healing and those kinds of like things of being better. I don't think they can be around each other that much without conjuring emotion, whether
being
they
reminded.
Feel. Yeah, even if they're okay about it, even if everything's good, it's still hard. Right. And so I think that having a dinner once a year is like just a nice
thing. It's like trauma bonding, how you like.
That's not good for you, though.
Well, no, but they went through something like dark together. And
but
they
I don't
like
think they went through
that.
Together. I think that's what the song's about. I think she felt alone in this relationship.
I suppose. But I think he was the closest person to her at that
Maybe.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine also being in his shoes, watching her like post these Instagram things about them. And I don't know. There's a lot there where like, I don't think anybody's wrong. If you were to really, if you sat down and had a conversation with both of them of what their position was, there's nothing you could say that could be like, well, keep this into account. They're both very aware of the other person's,
which is what makes
problems.
This song so powerful and heartbreaking. Truly, they do love each other. Yeah. It's just the circumstances that they're in are so tough. It's hard for them to be together.
It's bad. Bad circumstances. But even not to bring up Midsommar, but I'm going to bring up Midsommar. Have you guys
seen it yet? Yeah. Don't ruin it.
Oh, okay. Well, I won't talk about. I guess I'll just talk about this first act, and I won't get into details. But the relationship.
Yeah.
It deals with. I would say they probably don't love each other that much, but it deals with the idea of like circumstances that are beyond your control. And then it's like, how do you deal? Because, you know, most of the time people, you know, aren't going through anything, but if they are and you're not equipped to handle and you're the closest person to them, like what is your responsibility? What do you do? And,
and then the movie takes no thought into that.
Oh yeah. And the movie handles it very poorly, but like the beginning setup, I would say,
was
talks
so
about this.
Ripe for, I'm curious to see what you guys think, because we were not fans.
I liked it.
I didn't like it. I liked many things about it. I've come around because I've been like, I've liked so many things about it, and it made me think a lot that I'm like, maybe it's good, but I don't like what the author was trying to say.
Well, the more I think, about the parts
I disagree with him, and I disagree with the movie, but I like what he brought up.
The more I think
about, I don't even know what it's about, so this is making me very curious. But don't tell me.
The more I think about the parts I liked, the more the parts I didn't like, I dislike even more. It creates a real. But anyway,
go watch it. If you, so we won't get into it here.
You had said earlier the line, "Every tear is a rain parade from hell," and she. It says here that Ariana's doing a play on "Don't Rain on My Parade" by Barbara Streisand. Which is from Funny Girl, which that tracks. She's a big theater person. She loves musicals. But she also, what's funny about that is they say here that it contrasts with No Tears Left to Cry, because she says, you know, I got no tears left to cry.
But she did tweet, remember when I said there were no tears
left to
cry?
Yeah, she's like, and then the universe was like, haha, guess what, bitch. Okay, and then.
Let's go down. Yes.
Yeah, well, okay, so I'm not going to read the whole lyric. I just want to say the thing about where she says, baby, you do it so well and so understanding and so good. We know the part where she's talking about. She said, it says Ariana's angry at herself for compromising someone else's happiness in order to heal her own unresolved issues. She's also apologizing to Pete for all the abuse and hate he had to go through from fans after their breakup.
He did go through a lot.
That's a bummer. And I think that there's this interesting thing where the fans were not nice. Some fans were not nice. And
which is so strange to me, because if you're her fan, you want her to be happy, so the people she loves, you should also love.
Yeah, but when you're 17, you don't know how love works. That's what it comes down to. Not to be reductive to anyone listening. I'm sure we have adult, you know, but we're talking about the people who mostly attack are mostly teens online who are like, who don't realize words have consequences and so on. So is there any other one?
But then he hooked up with Kate Beckinsale. So I feel like
he's doing great now.
We can talk. Well, we already talked about the second verse. The wish he were here instead. But here's this one. Well, we'll get through this. We'll get past this. I'm a girl with a whole lot of baggage, but I love you. We'll get past this. I'm a girl with a whole lot of baggage. Genius says, having a lot of baggage means to have a difficult past that's hard to forget. Ariana's baggage includes a May 2017 terrorist attack at her concert in Manchester, which killed 22 of her fans and injured more. And her ex-boyfriend, Max Miller, unexpectedly passing away from an overdose in September 2018. Fewer than 2 months later, Ariana and her then-fiancé, Pete Davidson, called off their engagement, citing that the emotional trauma of recent events was too much too soon.
I can't imagine anybody was happy for that month that they were trying to be together. I can't, like, I think about it and I get anxiety every time, because I'm like, there's a kind of tenseness when you know the end is coming, but nobody is pulling the trigger yet. But in a way that isn't even like, all the energy is just sucked out of the room and there's nothing you can do about it. And that is the worst feeling in the world to me, because you're trapped in something that, you know, in my understanding from successful married couples, what they say is that, you know, those things pass and you know that, like, it's only going to last for a little while. And, like, you know, you kind of learn to circumnavigate it, I guess. Something like this, you can't. You obviously can't.
Especially so soon.
Yeah. I think about it more in terms of, like, God, they're just like, because we've all been in those situations, I think, at some point where you're also, there's part of me that thinks for Pete probably, and you know what, maybe even for her, because she says, we'll get through this. They're thinking like, okay, we do have to just kind of batten down the hatches and just sit here and kind of go through this storm for the next month. And then we'll get to the eye of the storm and then it'll be stormy again and then it's over. And that's the worst part, in my opinion, is that waiting for it because you think it might get better and then suddenly everybody just kind of clocks out.
Gosh, that's really tough. I think that you've hit the nail on the head when you said it's too soon, because they were, what, like 4 or 5 months together? Engaged.
So at most.
So I do think it's it doesn't always apply. Certain relationships, if you're like a year in and something happens, I think you can get through it. I mean, it just, but also depends on the people. I know I have a friend who's a couple that just got married, and they, when they first got together, like I think within a month or something, one of their roommates and best friends passed away from suicide, and it was really, really tough. And it was, you know, that's tough being alone at that time anyways, but they made it through, and they're stronger for it, I think. So I think it just depends sometimes.
I think with Ariana, though, like she's so high profile that like that spotlight on you, and that's got to be so hard to like,
Because also Max fans were attacking her, not all of them, obviously, but you know, we're like, you abandoned him and you didn't care about him. And like,
she had boundaries and she tried to help him as much as she could, but it wasn't her responsibility.
And it's interesting when it happened, you saw I wish fans really paid attention in that sense, because if you look at what every celebrity did, they never talked about her in that way. They sent her love.
People who knew them and knew her.
When you saw the tweets and stuff, nothing negative went her way. And everybody was nothing but nice about it. And mostly just talking about what a great guy he was and how it was like, and it felt so unfair just that he was gone.
Yeah.
You know, so, but before we end, I just want to make sure we didn't miss anything.
I feel like there's so much to say about this song.
I know. That's why I'm like, oh, we're so short on time, but,
I like this last, can we read the last sentence?
Go for it. Yeah.
Grande has displayed a deep emotional bond to Max. She wrote a song titled Remember that ultimately didn't make it on the album because Ariana felt the song was too personal.
Oh, if we I wonder what the song.
That one's like. I'd probably
now
love
I want to hear that song.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering because Imagine, which is the first song on the album, is also about him, and they're kind of like this like fairy tale desire to relive that, and so I wonder if that ended up subbing it out, essentially. By the way, she did perform Imagine Live once on Fallon. You can watch it on Jimmy Fallon.
Okay.
Yeah, it's great.
It's very good, yeah.
The Remember is spelled with two capital M's.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Brutal. That is so... well, the last question...
M also from Manchester.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Well, but M-M...
Well, Mac Miller, but also.
So last question we ask our guests is to rate the song out of 5 high ponytails.
Oh, 5.
Yeah. 5 ponytails with a little boop alfalfa coming out the top.
I don't mean to be over the top about it, but 10.
Whoa.
5.
You even beat me. Yeah, wow.
I mean, okay, I know I'm in the same boat as you. I mean, like, there's not enough ponytails.
Yeah.
That's the problem. We're out of ponytails.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know what?
I knew, I was like, we should have let her go first.
I understand why it's a 5, but to me personally, it's a 4 because it's not like there, but it's so personal and I really like what she's doing there, but it just is like, as a song, and I think you're right. It might be too close. It's very hard for me to get, so I think a part of me shuts down and it's like, okay. Cool, you're doing it. I see what you're doing. I see it. And then I'm like, all right.
Well, look, that's totally valid and wrong. But, but
your opinion is wrong.
Yeah, I respect your journey, even though it's you need to course correct it. But okay. Well, where can we find you guys online?
You can find us on Instagram at BasicWitchesPod, where we do all our podcasts. Goodness. And then on our personal pages at Leah Knauer
and at Rachel LaForest. And how many ponytails did you give Thank You Next, the song?
We haven't gotten there yet because it's number 12.
Okay. Well, you can see 2 ponies in our Thank You Hex version of it, which you can also find on the link tree on at Basic Witches Pod.
Yeah.
The
live show.
And Thank You on August 28th. It's a Wednesday, Witchy Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. We are doing our first ever live show to celebrate our 1-year anniversary at the Comedy Store.
So exciting.
Yes. We're hoping to have a big guest and it'll be very fun and witchy, and that place is haunted AF, so it will be very cool.
True.
Yes.
There's a vibe there for
there
sure.
There is a vibe.
Well, thank you guys so much for being here.
Thank you.
And you can find us at
Larissa T.
And at Eli Olsberg. And then, of course, our Instagram is podissawoman, 2 S's. And we have stickers on there. You can see the picture there, and you can DM us if you want them. We're selling them. We'll ship them to you. They're very cheap. They're $4. So get a sticker, and we'll be back next week with, in my head, another heavy quality.
I like that song a lot.
I do, too. So no ghosting, but it's damn good.
And Ariana, if you're listening, I love
Shade.
You.
Yeah. I know that it breaks your heart.